broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening once again, and a hearty hello to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe an Anon or two, and those on the road folks. A salute to our Space Force Rangers as well. We welcome you to our namesake program, Holistic Truth. I am your host, Leander Grace. It is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I know, because of double check, and we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. We continue as well to hold a space of peace, love, and grace in solidarity with patriots worldwide as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. It remains an exciting time to be alive, although it has got some scary little parts going on with it when we look out on the world stage and we look at home and some things that are broads, or pardon me, that are abroad. It can take your breath away on some things, but we are aware and alive and aware and awake, and it's an exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing. For those of you joining us here for the first time, we're going to go ahead and define the term holistic truth. Just as holistic medicine refers to the total care of the human body through the mind, body, and spirit, holistic truth refers to the viewing, treating, and healing of the human experience through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. And we're going to talk about the viewing and the treating and the healing of our human experience. We got to do that, folks. We got to figure out what that is. It's not enough just to look at it and say, yeah, that's bad. We need to treat it. We need to treat the situation and help heal it, not just at what's going on outside ourselves, but the effects that it has of what's going on inside ourselves as well, through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. We'll talk about it all, folks. We're going to talk about the physical and the metaphysical. Maybe not so much metaphysical, maybe a little bit. Well, we'll talk about it and the scriptural and the secular, historical, hysterical, and the politically mundane. And it'll be everything but mundane this evening, folks. We got a pow-pow kind of a program this evening, and we'll be blowing up all them little non-sequiturs. We're going to get them blowed up good, and there are a lot of non-sequiturs going on the world stage. We want to shine some light on, maybe put some things into perspective, and call things what we see. Remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you to question everything. We're not part of the legacy media. Do not take me at my word. It's not my place to convince you. We're here to spread the light. Therefore, take on only what is yours. Not everything's for everyone. Eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Keep close what's truth and heals, and discard what offends your spirit. Research what you hear, so you know what you're owning when you own your own experience. We need to understand the difference between a truth and a lie, and that sounds like so simplistic as 1 and 1 plus 2, but we got that common core stuff going on. So we're going to have attention to the math a little more closely. We got some romper room stuff we want to talk about. We want to shed some light on things, but we do know that change is upon us, and I do believe it'll be quickly. We're not certain of the picture, what it's going to look like when we're done. We know it's going to be better. We know it's going to be great. We're not right sure when it's going to be done or if we'll ever be done, because we're always going to be constantly healing and growing and improving. But what is for certain is change is upon us. Within every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive, and on levels and dimensions we cannot yet imagine, it remains an exciting time to be alive. There is some physical transformation going on. I'll have that for another broadcast on another night. The cognitive, emotional, and spiritual people are waking up. They're seeing things, and the frustration level is reaching an all-time high. I can feel it. Those around me feel it. That we can just feel the tension in the air, not all who are gifted are in and of the light. We're going to talk about that a little bit, not so much. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff tonight. And I haven't been on air for a couple of days, for some weeks, because I've had my head in the middle of figuring out everything that I was seeing as it unfolds. And some of it was quite overwhelming. So I needed to take that time and take that distance and do that studying that I needed to so I could bring you the broadcast this evening. It wasn't my intention to be off air that extended period of time, but it just occurred because other things were occurring as well. We got some Zazusa. Just want to say a shout out to that. And before we get too far along into the broadcast, just on a lighter note, I want to bring you some news that you don't really need to know, but you can't get through the night without. And that is, you know, when I was a child, right, it always starts out that when I was just wee little child, there was a program on, and I wasn't even in, I don't think I was in kindergarten yet, maybe just getting ready for, but there was a program on early morning when my brothers were getting ready. I would sit down in front of the TV and watch Romper Room, and they had like this little magic mirror, right? And they called it the ICU2 TV set. So that was kind of weird. So, but what they would sit around the circuit and they'd have the mirror and they'd say hello to all the little boys and girls that had, you know, birthdays. And because my name was then and remains a little different than the common Mary, Joe, Jane, and Johns, right? They did, it was, I didn't realize that she couldn't see me. But I digress. Anyway, that all kinds of things get revealed on tonight's broadcast. And for those of you who are asking, and it has been rumored, no, I do not have multiple personalities, but as pointed out at one time by a very dear friend of mine, there does seem to be many facets. So I'll just leave you with that, some pondering of that news you don't really need to know, but can't get through the day without. Now, there's a lot of stuff going up on the world stage. There's a lot of things that are going on, a lot of catastrophes, crises seem to be popping up every day around the world and around us. The latest one, of course, being Haiti, and I'm typing that in now so I don't forget to address it. We got things going on at the border, and we'll get to that. And you would think that would be at the top of the order, but, and it may be. Tonight's broadcast, I don't really have but just a small outline to go by. Mine's just a little more detailed than the one that you see on the Blog Talk Radio page. There's not much to it to go with, but we're going to go with it. We're going to go ahead and give this program to God, give it to the Father, because there's a lot to put out, and I want to be sure that I get it right. So let's go ahead and go. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for helping us all to be more aware of what it is that's going on around us. Help us to continue to see the truth for what it is. Father, I lift this program up to you, knowing how much meat and taters you put in for it. Help me not to get distracted by the veggies on the side, but to concentrate on the things that need to be concentrated on and deliver that information in the way you'd have it to be delivered. This will be a warning broadcast, Father. You and I both know it. Be with me as I'm a little shaky, a little nervous at some of the things I need to say, the things you've given me to say. And I'll share them this evening. Be with my voice, be with my mind, be with my thoughts. And let those words that come out of my mouth be edifying rather than tearing down. And help them be educational rather than terrifying. I lift this program up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go forward. And did I say the word terrifying? I absolutely did. Because as I look out on the world stage, that stuff's got me puckered. It's got me puckered, and if that not got you puckered, you're not paying attention, and I say, bless you, take care, you know, take care of you, we'll take care of the puckered. That's kind of the way it has to be sometimes. So we're going to get to the border here in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about Israel. It seems as though, in the middle of Ramadan, I'm going to call it what it is, and if I seem biased, it's because I am. I'm biased for the ones that didn't start it. It seems to be that people are up in arms that five Palestinians lost their life in the middle of Ramadan, and I want to remind folks that there are still hosts being raped, so pardon me for not being as compassionate as they would like me to be for their loss of life for something they started. That's what I have to say about that. We're going to have to start drawing cognitive lines in the sands of our minds and understand the difference between right and wrong. and know the difference between when we're being told something and when we're being manipulated into believe something that may or may not be true. And to get the details on that, each of us are responsible. So the war in Ukraine, if we can call it that, I'm using the air quotes, the war in Ukraine, right? The surgical strikes that are being performed by Putin to alleviate the bio labs that are cloning people, and they're doing bioweapons, and they're trafficking children. It's the hubbub of all of the Nazi and all of the Soviet stuff meeting together to have a party and destroy that land, because that's what they do. And before we start talking about sending more money into Ukraine to support the subversive army that's in place, because remember in 2014, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, 2004, there was the great big illegal action that began in Crimea. And then basically the intelligence agencies of NATO et al. Invaded and took over and replaced the legitimate presidency and their parliament and all of their government with their little puppets. And so if you're getting up in arms and you've got that blue-yellow thing running through your veins, understand that the only thing that they're throwing money at that they shouldn't be throwing money at is to support the same criminal regime that they put in place in 2014, and we should not want to have anything to do with that. Should we? Should we? Or should we say it stops now? And understand that perhaps regardless of what has been reported to we, the people here in America, that perhaps it is actually exactly what they were saying is it's precision strikes to break up this absolutely crazy, insane industrial complex they have over there, biological warfare, cloning, and all of the rest. I've been doing research. So that's what they're supporting when they're supporting Ukraine. And why are they supporting Ukraine and not we the people? Why are they throwing more money over at Ukraine? Why are they giving our arms to Ukraine when we the people can't even secure our own border because the government is now filing suit against the state of Texas because the state of Texas is exercising their constitutional right to secure the border? I've been studying. What are we looking at? Is tonight's topic. What are we looking at? We've got over in Port-au-Prince now, mob rule. What is happening over in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, is the exact same thing that the deep state wants to have happen here. Do we see this? What's going on over in Port-au-Prince, over in Haiti, is the outcome of the border violations that they're hoping to have so that this whole land can be taken away from we the people. Do we see this yet? Haiti is their goal for us. Port-au-Prince is the goal for us. But in front of us and we're not even seeing it. What are we looking at? Are you looking at TikTok? Because TikTok has you interested in people's butts and their boobs and their ignorant behavior and acting like fools. There's good stuff there too, but I'm talking. Got us completely sidetracked of what's going on in front of us right here at home. Now, I find value in TikTok. I don't have an account. Why? Because the Chinese doesn't know anything about me other than I signed in as a guest. People are losing their minds over this TikTok issue. They're banning free speech. No, there's nobody banning nothing. Congress is taking rightful action under the Commerce Clause to ensure that the CCP does not have a backdoor and an influence of espionage into we the people via our children. Case in point. 170 million people, I guess, are on TikTok, according to what I see. And then TikTok gets a case of the butt hurt because we're going to take legal action because of the ties to the CCP. And what does it do? It mobilizes its army of users against the United States government by having them call the congressional offices and jam the phones like spoiled little babies that didn't get chocolate sprinkles on their ice cream. Children don't even know what they're doing. Some of them were saying, what's a congressman? They want to go through these steps because TikTok told them to go through these steps. So they trafficked the children, mobilized them, mobilized the population against the government, had them jam the lines, and God forbid that there was an emergency and nobody could contact anybody else. That's how easy it is to subvert. That's how easy it is. And TikTok knows it. And if it's not TikTok, then it's ByteDance. And if it's not ByteDance, then it's the CCP that owns ByteDance, that owns TikTok, that obviously is now claiming ownership to the hearts and the minds of our children and the population of the United States, because the response says, yes, we own them. So while everybody is fighting for the right to TikTok, the House has taken the appropriate action, and hopefully the Senate will follow, to take the appropriate action to protect our populace and our government and our interaction from CCP infiltration, because that's exactly what happened. In a matter of hours, the phone lines were jammed. It was insane. What if somebody was hurt and they needed help and they needed to call an ambulance, but they couldn't do it, and then somebody died because TikTok wants to go on? You say, Leanna Grace, you're being a little dramatic. No, actually, I'm being quite matter of fact. The cause and effect, or should I call the call and response control that TikTok has, is frightening. So it's not a matter of banning TikTok from the American people. It's a matter of having it reposition itself so that it is not threatening. It is not a takes as one child out of hand hearing the information that their father is going to go on deployment, yada, 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 and they offhandedly say it in a TikTok video, and all of a sudden the CCP has intel that they might not otherwise have had. It is that simple. That mundane of a statement at times can undo the whole darn thing, or at least put a wrench in some stuff. And so we need to think, yeah, does TikTok cool? Yeah, I would love to be a member of TikTok once the CCP's little fingers are out of it. And that's what this is about. And there are already several offers on the table to back TikTok, to buy TikTok, to finance TikTok without the fingers and the algorithms all going back to the CCP. That's what's going on. Nobody's doing a power grab to silence the people. I hope not, because there was a lot of valuable information, and it was a go-to place for me for about a 48-hour period when I was putting some dots together. And I needed that information. I didn't even know it was there because I hadn't paid TikTok any mind. But I see the value of it now, and I don't wish it to go away, but I certainly do wish it to become secure. And I do believe that that is what Congress is trying to put forth, is an avenue to keep it and have it secure. And then there's at least six or seven offers on the table to buy it and to back it up, because it is that valuable. It's not that it's not valuable. Nobody wants to take away anybody's chocolate sprinkles from an ice cream cone. We just want to make sure that those sprinkles don't kill you, basically. That's what I'm saying. So as far as TikTok goes and all of that, Congress is completely not just within its right, it is under obligation to make sure that the lines are secure and that they don't have free pipes all the way back to CCP. Because even the most mundane piece of information from a really good scooper can be used to bring the correct argument to get the answer. So there you have that. I just thought I'd say that off the cuff to who knows who's listening. So what does subversion look like? Well, it looks like what TikTok pulled. Go call your congressman, and then everybody had a cow. They're going to take away your candy. That's how much control TikTok has over your mind, just letting you know. So subversion can take on a lot of different things. Usually subversion just means going around, going under, making what, if we're talking about subverting the law, making the law less than what it actually is and putting something above the law, subverting the law. Same way with subversion of the truth. That's what we're seeing on the press all the time. Now, I want to talk about the press just a little bit here in a little bit. They can subvert the reality, subvert truth. And next thing you know, people don't understand what's going on with TikTok because they've told so many darn lies. Children are now saying they're going to commit suicide if they take the app away. That is mental trauma. And nothing that the people were being told was true, but they all believed it because it came from TikTok. And clearly, that corporation that has its best interest, financial interest at heart before yours, surely they wouldn't mislead you into doing something silly for their benefit. So subversion looks like not being honest, going around the law. In fact, let's take a look at it. I'm just going to do a look up right here so we can give it its due effect. I better not use that one or I'll be in trouble. So to subvert. So if we look up the word subvert, and I'm just doing it live because I want to get it right. Subversion refers to a process by which the values and principles of a system in place are contradicted or reversed in an attempt to sabotage the established social order and its structures of power, authority, tradition, hierarchy, and social norms. So there's a lot of different ways that subversion can be applied, but basically what it is lying to people to get them to do something against their best interest. Well, we saw a lot of subversion going on in Congress not long ago. Hopefully that's coming to an end. But subversion, first of all, you have to convince people that the truth is not the truth and that the lie is. That's what you have to do. And now I want to go ahead and talk about the press, because when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about these other things in depth. And I just want to talk about subversion very, it all fits into TikTok, but I want to talk about our press. Now, complain about the news media, and there's a lot to complain about, but I also want to say this, there's a lot of good stuff there too, and I've had my brain, you know, practically tacked to every station that there is that I could think of that was valuable. It's because I needed to gather some information very quickly, a large amount of information in a very short amount of time. And what I've come to see, and I think you guys too, is I actually did an argument for the press, because I think what we really need to be looking at is not the people who are reporting the news, or, you know, those on Fox News or with MSNBC, CNN, all of those people. Understand that they've got bosses, and they have what I could say, there's only so much they're able to say before they start getting into trouble. I'm just going to say things as I see them, and I may not be completely correct, but I want to take everybody's attention back to 1997. Yeah, that's a little bit of a bit, but back in 1997, Fox News, they weren't new, but they were new to my knowing, but they had come up with a program called The Investigators. You can look it up now. It's called The Investigators. And one of their first things that they did was go for the Monsanto milk, right? The hormonal, the RBGST, you know, that milk that's got all the hormonal stuff that makes the cows sick, but they produce a lot and a lot of pus and a lot of sick milk. It's, you know, we got that now. And they did an investigation, and they came up with some really truthful things and very alarming statistics and then some horrific data that the sponsors of the program, Monsanto, sued Fox News and halted the story. And then they had to rewrite it a little bit more, and they still wouldn't let them post the story. And then they did a little bit more, and pretty soon they were just like, there's no way that they could present the facts and meet the thing of Monsanto. And so there was a challenge where I believe it was Steve Wilson and Miss Aker, I can't remember her first name right off the top, it'll come to me later, You can look it up. It's still Googleable, very searchable. And what they basically did is they took it to court down in Florida, and Florida gave a ruling that said it was not necessary for the news to be truthful. That's in essence what it was. There's a whole bunch of legalese and a whole bunch of this and that going on, but basically what the Florida court had said is that, you know, they don't have to tell the truth. That caused a lot of problems. And then we also know that when the Kenyan who sat as president did all of his little, you know, executive order thingies, that he basically made it legal for the press to present propaganda here on American soil. And we've seen several CIA operations jump up there and take the hoot. And some of those folks are giving us news even today. If you listen close, you can get to the truth. You know, you can listen to the lies and then get to the truth by knowing what the lies are. So there's a way to listen to it if you're clever. But that's basically what's happened to our press. And now it seems to be that there's the friendly press and there's the opposition press, depending on which side of the aisle, I guess is the verbiage that we're using, or which side of the aisle you sit on, whether you're going to the opposition press or to the friendly press. What if we just had an honest press? What if the people who owned the media stations just let the people who are bringing us the news bring us the truth? Because I can see them bite their tongue. I can see them wanting to say more, but, you know, I mean, they're not even talking about the election interference or the fact that it was a rigged and stolen election. They're not even letting them talk about that. They don't get to talk about that on the news, even though we, the people, might want to hear something about that. They're not allowed to talk about it as if it never even happened. That's a version of the truth. That's a version of our reality. And ultimately, it's a version of the law, because we should have a free and honest press. That's what a free press is about. They're free to tell us the truth. They're not free to lie to us. But I do believe that there's been a corporate agreement to nearly force them to into that box in some cases. And so you say, Leanne Grace, what are you saying? I'm saying we need to fight for a free press, not by wagging our bony fingers into the face of those who are bringing what they're being told to bring and have guardrails on them. I know a little bit about that. Some of them are good. Some of them are not. There's a lot more that they have to say, but there are constraints. And so I think that we, the people, should actually start fighting for those in the press and insist that their overlords, and I'm just going to say it the way it is, their corporate overlords, loosen the leash, because they're subject to liability in this. Not the ones in front of the camera, the ones behind the camera, the ones upstairs, the ones that are doing the HR stuff, the ones that are deciding who gets to tell the truth and who doesn't. Don't act like we don't know that's not going on. There's information we should have, and some information we probably don't need, but there's information that we should have. I'm talking about national security and stuff. We don't need to just puke our guts out all over everything. But Catherine Herridge is been fined and is now under whatever sanctions that she's under. I think she's actually under arrest for not revealing the source. This is like 1970s already been argued law. She doesn't have to give up the sources. And yet you got a judge holding her saying, well, I think that you do. It doesn't matter damn what the judge thinks. It's what the law says. And we're going to talk about that when we get to the other side of the break. We're going to talk about the law, subversion of the law. And we're going to talk about some specific cases of that one very specific case. I've read the whole darn thing. I certainly did. Well, I didn't read every darn word, but I went through the whole darn thing. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about what invasion looks like. I'm going to ask a question about what does treason look like. And then, of course, we'll come back to the very beginning and say, you know, what are we looking at? What are we looking at? What's in front of us on the world stage? And can we please have an honest breath. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We'll be back in about two. In fact, we're just going to bring POTUS up. You know, you know what I mean. Let's hear a little bit.
You know, I've been hearing more and more about a thing called fake news. Fake news. I've seen people destroyed, and I think it's very unfair. Some of the media outlets that I deal with the fake news. Fake news. I think it's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace, but I don't think they care. Well, first of all, one of the reasons I'm here today is to tell you the whole Russian thing, that's a ruse. It's a ruse. I own nothing in Russia. I don't have any deals in Russia. Russia is fake news. I just see many, many untruthful things. The press has become so dishonest. The public doesn't believe you people anymore. You have a lower approval rate than Congress. You know, I've been hearing more and more about a thing called fake news.
Fake news.
I've seen people destroyed, and I think it's very unfair. Some of the media outlets that I deal with the fake news.
Fake news.
I think it's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace, but I don't think they care.
I'll tell you something, I don't mind bad stories. I can handle a bad story better than anybody as long as it's true. But I'm not okay when it is fake. It's all fake news. I mean, it's story after story after story. We're not going to let it happen again. The public gets, when I go to rallies, they want to throw their records to CNN. Here's the thing, I want to see an honest press. I want to see an honest press. I want to see an honest press. It's so important to see an honest press. I want to see an honest press. I want to see an honest press. But our nation's reporters will not tell you the truth. So I'll go over just some of them. MSNBC.
You are fake news.
The New York Times.
You are fake news.
CBS,
NBC, ABC,
BBC, LA Times.
You are fake news.
The Washington Post.
You are fake news.
CNN.
Very fake news.
Politico,
AP, HuffPost, BuzzFeed.
Failing pile of garbage. You know, I've been hearing more and more about a thing called fake news.
Fake news.
I've seen people destroyed, and I think it's very unfair. Some of the media outlets that I deal with the fake news.
Fake news.
I think it's a disgrace. Absolute disgrace, but I don't think they care. I don't think they care.
Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leanna Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, wasn't that fun? Now, having said all that, and having sat through that song, it is fun to listen to. Donald J. Trump didn't have anything to do with that being compiled. That's just it's his voice, and it's fun. And also, I have respect for the press. But we do need to stand up, people. We need to fight for their right to tell us the truth. We need to insist on it. And the only way we can do that is making ourselves informed and staying informed ourselves and calling them to the carpet when we're not getting the truth. And not only that, if to really help those who are bringing this to the news, because those are the ones that I honor, not the ones that are, you know, putting pressure on them to, yes, say this or don't say that. You know, we need to call them and let them know, not just personalities. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ones who were passing down the principles that the personalities have to put their face in front of the camera and dispatch for us. Take that as you will. But there's been a lot of improvement. But by the same token, you know, we the people are responsible. We need to hold them responsible to tell us the truth. We the people are the ones that are running it, are supposed to be running it. All of it. Now, whether we have been or not, or whether we want that responsibility or not, you know, that remains to be seen. But going forward, as far as me, I'm going to start insisting that things go the way that the law says, because during my time with my nose in the books, I have fallen head over heels in love with the law and have renewed my romance with the Constitution, and it's going quite well. Honeymoon is over, the gloves are off, and we're going to take it. We're going to bring it to you the way it is. The Constitution is going to save this nation. You want to know who it is that's going to stand up and save the nation? The Constitution is going to save this nation. The law is going to save this nation. And if we lose the law, we lose this land, because the law gives us the authority and the direction and the guardrails that we need so that we do not, as a nation, they're very simple rules, very simple guardrails, very simple guidance for the branches of government, what they cannot do to us, we the people. The Constitution is not a book of rules of what we the people need to do. It is mandates, the absolute laws that our government must follow. Now, how do you subvert? You make a whole bunch of other laws and start acting on the side under the color of law, which is against the law. So they're writing laws to subvert the law so that they can act in a way that looks like it's lawful, but it's not. It's not lawful. Now, before we get to the overall, it's not lawful to do that, I do want to take a particular case in point. Now, everybody's heard about this Letitia James stuff, right? This case in New York, well, actually, it's kind of everywhere. It's spread across multiple properties and in multiple locations, and the suit is in one state, and the defendant, which is Donald J. Trump, pardon me, sir, I'm just going to use your name, sir, that, you know, is in a different state. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that make this not just inconvenient, but wrong, and I want to go over them. This is a 92-page ruling from the weirdo judge, you know, the one that takes naked pictures of himself and sends them to the high school alma mater, right? Ergodon, the weird guy. Yeah, him. That's who ran this trial. Now, I want, for those of you who are not real sure about what went on in this trial, is there's $126 million judgment, the very finalization of it. $126 million judgment. That's a lot of damn money. And you would think the $126 million being, what did they call it? Disgorged. We're going to talk about that too. Disgorged from Donald Trump's assets, earnings, otherwise holdings and properties and things like that. So I'm going to nutshell this 92-page thing. So there's a single judge who's own proclivities come into question. And he's the only one making decisions in this trial. Defendant after defendant after defendant after witness after witness after witness comes up and testifies in this trial. And from what I see, and I am not an unintelligent person, I know basic math. I don't like finance, but I know basic math, and I know language, and now I'm learning the law. This is what I've got to say about that. From what I've read just in this judgment, which has emotional puke all over it, I don't believe that this singular individual is bright enough, smart enough, or emotionally boundaried enough to conduct a fair trial that's going to cost somebody $126 million and call into play things that are over 15, 20 years ago that nobody's going to remember and hold somebody accountable for that. $126 million is on the table, not to mention, what is it? He's going to disgorge. This is what the judge wants to do. This is a matter of public record. I'm not getting out of this anything but open source. So this is what the judge is doing. Let me say all of this absolved and ordered and so ordered and all this. Ordered that the defendants, and this is plural, Donald J. Trump, his two sons, Alan Weisselberg, Jeffrey McConnell, Donald J. Trump, then there's some some other things going on there that unless you look at it, I'm not going to go through it because they seem to be financially personal and we're not here to lay out all that stuff. That there's like, that they're liable under the second, third, fourth, fifth, and seventh causes of action. And so there's a bunch of causes of action, people. So basically what this is $126,828,600 with prejudgment interest from May 11, 2022 that he wants Donald J. Trump and all the things that he's got. Basically what this judge has got a big old case of butt up his butt and he wants to strip them of everything that they've got because Letitia James told him to. This judge is not bright enough to know the financial in and outs of this. I barely got it, and I know I'm more boundaried than he is. So evidently they sold a post office, and the kids got $4 million each, and then there was a big old chunk that went to Donald J. Trump, and now he wants the kids to be disgorged of that $4 million. And he paid a lawyer $1 million, or he was going to pay him to me. He says, you paid him $1 million. We want that $1 million you got paid for being his lawyer. Oh, yeah, this is brutal, and it is out of bounds. There is no way that the Founding Fathers ever envisioned a single depraved individual to have this much power over this many people's lives. It's horrendous what's in this judgment. The conclusion and the order is ridiculous. And as I go through the whole case, I find so many places that I, as a lay person, would challenge the language that is used because it reveals the emotional state and the personal ego stance of the judge. The single person was the judge, the jury, and the executioner, one person. And throughout this, anytime the defendant or the defendant's witness would speak up, it seems as though they were put down. And if at any point what the defendant or the defendant's witnesses said went against what it seemed to be the case that they were drawing, they would out of hand say, but that's not credible. One person, judge, jury, and executioner of the order. Now, I do want to say this about that. This judge comes down and he says something about a disgorgement. Now, he can do a disgorgement because a disgorgement is this and it's not that and it's yada, 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 yada. And it's absolutely incredible what he's come up with. But I want to actually explain to you what disgorgement is and how it works. And this is just by Investopedia.com. I looked up the term and here we go. What is disgorgement? Disgorgement is the legally mandated repayment of ill-gotten gains imposed on wrongdoers by the courts. So they're saying that these are ill-gotten gains, $126 million of it. And that they were funds received through illegal or unethical business transactions. They're disgorged or paid back, often with interest and or penalties to those affected by the action. There is no person affected by the action. Nobody brought suit against Donald J. Trump et al. Except the DA. What possible motive could the DA have of going after every single property this man owns, or any property that he has set aside, and the family, and the organization? What possible motivation could she have, except that was the platform that she ran on, and then she handed it over to a perverted judge who has no emotional boundaries, and you can read it in the report. You can read it in his order, his emotionalism. You can read it every time that he set somebody down. And yet that's the amount of power that a single individual has in the lives of so many people. That was not the way it was set up by the Founding Fathers, I guarantee you. So this continues on. It says, disgorgement is a remedial civil action rather than a punitive civil action. See how they're playing with the words. They're playing with the words because this particular remedial action is extremely punitive. That means it seeks to make those harmed whole rather than to excessively punish doers. Well, okay, from a legal standpoint, from a probationary standpoint, when we were doing pre-sentence investigation reports, restitution is restitution. Restitution is the remedy. And the restitution was to make it right with the person that they had wronged. It wasn't to drain their bank account. Nobody here claimed being wronged except Letitia James, the DA who ran on the platform to get Trump. And then this perverted judge who, with no emotional boundaries, he's the judge, jury, and the executioner, to the tune of $162 million plus almost $163 million judgment and the destruction of everybody, it seems, that ever breathed the same air as Donald J. Trump. That's what I read in this. And I didn't go to law school. But I certainly snuffed up on it. You don't have to go to law school to see this. You don't have to be a graduate of Yale or Harvard or any place else, like it's hard. You have to be able to read and think. I'm not practicing law. I'm reading it. And this is not law. This is retribution. This is pains and penalties. This is using the law to apply pains and penalties, which is nothing but a bill of attainder, by subverting the legal system to get Trump. So what I would recommend, not that I have any grounds to do a recommendation, but what I would recommend, because well, let me go on with this disgorgement thing. Because I got another point to make. The key takeaways it says in this article that's put out by Investopedia, and I have no reason to believe that it would be anything but accurate, is that disgorgement is a legal statute that seeks to make whole those harmed financially by returning ill-gotten funds from the wrongdoer to the harmed parties. I don't see harmed parties. The first sentence of the judge's order tells you what he thinks, because even that opening is an emotionally charged, very full of ego. I got you. It's an I got you statement in the very open of it. And so the second bullet here on the key takeaways, it says, this sort of civil action seeks to prevent unjust enrichment is often enforced by regulatory bodies such as the SEC. Not by a single judge, jury, and executioner who has boundary issues and sends his naked body, pictures of his naked body, to his high school alma mater. The third bullet here is, in practice, fair and full disgorgement, which is nothing more than puking up what you got, fair and full disgorgement is hard to come by, since the institutional setup encourages the privatization of gains while socializing losses. So usually a disgorgement happens for the SEC when they find out that there's unfair trade practices, and they come in and say, break it up, boys, kind of like what they did with Pfizer. Pfizer can no longer trade because of their unfair trade practices, basically bottling poison and calling it medicine. So this is what I got from that. And what I would do with this is I'd appeal it to the federal level. And on a couple of things, first of all, the sheer amount of dollars that they're trying to disgorge from all of these people and totally disrupt, it's pains and penalties. You can't say it any other way. But for that reason, the sheer volume of it, the very fact that it's a single man with poor judgment that's sitting as judge in the case, and the whole way that this is written up is clearly narratively to skew everything to the narrative. And it's clear that he has no idea how real estate works. I mean, we're sitting at the very top taking about a 50% haircut of the value off the top of it before they even start talking about valuation. So nobody went into any of these things blindly. You could tell everybody, but the I wasn't dotted and the T wasn't crossed. And did you remember this statement from 20 million years ago? This is a gotcha case through and through. And I think the only way, not just because it's Donald J. Trump, but the only way to have justice served is to bring this up to the federal level, because it's also multiple jurisdictions. So over multiple jurisdictions and all these other places, they've got grounds to move it up to the federal level, and I would suggest that they do that just because he needs a fair trial. Is any of this fair? Well, that's for someone besides a single person with poor judgment and bad boundaries to make in the seat of a judge, jury, and an executioner. So I would invite everybody, all you have to do is really not do a Google search. Just search for it to read Ergodon's ruling on Trump. And you'll see, I mean, I highlighted several places where it's clear that the judge has a grudge. The judge has a point. He had a focus and a direction before the trial started. You can see that. And so I would invite you all to go ahead and take a look at that. And that's about the heated stuff that I have to say about that. Am I his attorney? No. Am I none? You know, if I were, that's what I would do. I would appeal this, try to get a stay, and appeal this to the federal level where people who know what the hell they're doing are actually sitting judgment on this. And a jury wouldn't be bad either, because it's going to take more than one person making a call. Well, the jury's already been foregone. But I don't understand how one person can be given so much power with a grudge and clearly boundary issues and judgment issues to sit judge on a $126 million judgment, dislodge so many people from their lives after so long a period of time. And the arguments that are being made are just out there. You'd have to be sitting you'd have to be a Democrat in the House. Yeah, I said it, and I'll keep saying it. This is just, there's nothing here that seems fair. Well, there was one part that seemed fair, but I'll keep that to myself. But that was just such a small part. But other than, it's all ridiculous. In fact, that even that part is not in total transparency of what I was thinking, is that in the event that the old post office property, you know, was thing that I saw was that if one disgorges, they all disgorge, that would be fair. But the very fact that they're asking everybody involved in that to give up all of their gains is insane. Because the formulations that the judge evidently is using has no bearing on the property itself. And so there's going to need, you know, it needs some more attention. As I'm looking through this, and you say, well, Leander Grace, why am I getting up in arms about this? Well, I'm getting up in arms about this because what if I get a gazillion dollars and I start getting a bunch of property? Then I piss somebody off and they take me to court and rake me over the coals and try to get, you know, access to everything I own. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to Donald J. Trump either, but I don't want it to happen to me. And the only way that I can assure that it didn't happen to me is that we take care of the law right now. Let's talk about that. Take care of the law right now. So my question, having said all that about that, is if this one judge can get away with that, what are others getting away with? What else is happening to the people at the injunctive level that we don't know about? At what point does speaking your mind and being well off and going to bat for we the people? Because I think this is retaliation. I see it as retaliation and pains and penalties the long way around to make them suffer for standing up for we the people. And since I see it that way, and since there's no other way for me to view it because I've read this order, it's insane. I felt the need to speak up. Now, I don't know why they haven't moved it up. I know that there's a thing about, well, it's a civil case, and the civil case belongs to the state. No, not with this amount of money. According to the law, and let me go ahead and take a look at that. I think I have it pulled up here somewhere. Let's go according to the law, she says, twice. Let me see if I can get this without totally messing everything else up here. I'd have to go into it and get into it, and it wouldn't be, oh, yeah, here it is, removal from state court to federal court. Open that in a new tab. Just to share with you guys some of the ways that I found the answers to this is a lot of this is at Cornell Law Education Institute. It's out there for open source for everybody to read. And this is Article 3, Section 2, Clause 1. For removal from state court to federal court, and it gives all of the things of how it can be done. And so the criteria is met, so I don't know why they don't just move it up to the federal level, and then I think that those who are over the judiciary need to take a look at Mr. Ergodon and his boundary issues and his very poor judgment of sending naked sexting pictures to his alma mater high school. I just think that's out of line and shows bad judgment. And yet he's ruling judge, jury, and executioner over a $126 million order that affects multiple lives in ways that you and I cannot imagine. And before anybody starts getting their butt up over their shoulders about, well, they got all this money, they can afford it, not if they take it all away. And if that's your answer, then when you get $1.99 and someone takes 99 cents of it, you're left with a buck. I mean, like, well, you know, that's just the way it goes. If we cannot stand up for each other, regardless of the personalities, when those personalities are gone, who's going to help us protect our principles? So we need to get on it. Take a look at what's in front of us and see if we're willing to let injustice stand no matter who the personality is. Because that's just one personality. I mean, everybody knows I love him to death. I completely adore Donald J. Trump, President Trump. Absolutely. I make no bones about that. But it's not about that. I wouldn't want to see this being done to anybody, not to anybody. And if by happenstance or hook or by, well, not by crook, but by any other, you know, grace or bountiful thing that might be blessed upon me, I certainly don't want the state or any judge with poor boundaries and bad judgment to think that he can build a narrative and get it from me just because I got it and he doesn't. He doesn't want me to have it. And there ain't nothing more in the case than that. And not only that, this case forbids all of the people from doing business where they do business. So basically, this one judge who has very poor judgment and very questionable boundaries, then his purview to make $127 million judgment against a whole corporation and tell everybody there they have to sit down, be quiet, they can't defend themselves, you just have to take it. That's what happened. That's what happened. And you can tell that's what happened by reading the judge's order. So I leave that to you all. This is where we're at. That's a subversion of the law. The founding fathers could not possibly have ever imagined such a violation as what we're seeing in that case. And it is a total violation of everything that we hold dear. And I'm not talking about the person, I'm talking about the principle, although the person comes into play as being dear as well. Do we want that? Do we want that to be a precedent-setting event so that the next time they know how to do it against somebody else who happens to be financially well off and well known and beloved by some, totally destroy what they have and the image and their reputation and everything that goes along with it? Do we really want to put up with it no matter who it is? That's the question. That's the question. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to go ahead and go for a break. We're going to listen to a bit of Dan Fogelberg, Part of the Plan. We'll be back in about 3. We're not done. We're just getting started. lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, and the mute button on, you can't hear me, so that didn't protect me either. Welcome back here to the broadcast. I am your host, Leander Grace. This is Holistic Truth on Wednesday night. It's our flagship program, the one that started it all some years ago, and here we are again. We're just saying the truth, even when our voice shakes. And my voice was shaking a bit at the beginning, but it's not anymore. I'm just in the zone. So I am your host, Leander Grace. We do have a caller on the line. I didn't even see the chat room, you know, putting in there, saying all kinds of good stuff, and now they're laughing. I was in the zone. Yeah. So as we got some folks from the chat room want to come in and be part of the conversation, go ahead and bring, I'm assuming that's you on the line, as it were. So I'm going to go ahead and bring your microphone live. Go ahead and give us your first name, where you're calling from. You can use your chat room ID too, because it's all the same to me. Let me go ahead and bring your microphone live. You said you had something to bring to us to the broadcast. Can we get your first name, where you're calling from?
Yes, Leanna. Leanna. May have got
Leandra,
that wrong.
You're fine. That's okay. Just don't call Leandra. Me late for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Love that name. my name is Patrick. My name is Patrick.
Patrick, where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Oh, nice. So what do you got for us, Mr. Patrick?
Well, you put a lot of stuff on the table, man. I mean, you ran the gamut. You went through the history of the United States, the political paradigm, how politics was formulated from the conception of what we call the United States to today. And what I wanted to share with you is that I'm 63 years old. I have transitioned from the analog age to the digital age.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who know what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
I don't really want to explain what that means.
Right,
however, with that being said, I went to college as a computer science major. Then I transitioned into applied mathematics with an application in physics. Mm-hmm. Never worked a day in my life in the field. However, here's what I learned. I learned how the geopolitical landscape works.
Right.
So growing up, the Nixon administration, the Reagan administration.
Yeah. We're about the same time.
All that.
Mm-hmm.
All that. So when I was listening to all that as a very young person, I really didn't understand the political landscape and what all that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward to where I am now. Now I see what that means. Because when you were talking about modern day politics, when you're talking about Biden and Trump, and I watched the State of the Union, that was hard to watch.
It was hard
guy,
to watch.
Mm-hmm. He was coughing, and I was like, man, is this a dude going to keel over in the middle of the speech on the State of the Union, or is he going to be okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's coming up. Yeah, that's coming up. We're going to talk about that next, but I'll do that. I'll roll on my own with that.
I was worried about his health, but then here's the backdrop.
Okay.
My sis, because you feel like a sister to me. Here's my backdrop with this sis.
Alrighty.
We got Trump, who they're trying to put in jail and bring up on charges.
Mm-hmm.
Who was president, tried to impeach him, didn't get that done.
Right.
He told us, I'm coming back again.
Mm-hmm.
Now he done showed up. He done won the primary by a landslide. I forget the female he was running against, the woman.
Yeah.
politician that he was running
against?
Yeah, the Clinton thing. Yeah, he killed that off. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, get her out of here.
Are you talking about 2016, or are you talking about
No, I'm talking about just the primary that just happened.
Oh, okay. Now, that was Nikki Haley, ambassador.
Yeah.
Give her some respect, a little bit of respect on that.
Okay, all right. But he did knock her out of the box, though.
Yeah, he did.
And he was winning that like 4-1. Because I think when I checked in, he had 762, and she had like 60.
But evening it out, state to state, there was still somewhere between 15 to 30% in some states that need the attention. You know, I mean, needs to be addressed because everybody gets to be in the tent. So, you know, when I'm looking at those numbers, I'm saying, okay, what is it that's missing that they thought they would find over in the Haley camp, right? And that's how I'm looking at it. And is it perception or is it truth? You know, and so because all the voters still matter, right? So that's what I'm looking at. But you're right. He knocked her out the park. She gone. That's it.
But here's what I'm going to give you.
Okay.
In today's world, because I think that me and you are kind of from an age bracket. I ain't trying to put
nobody
on blast. We're in the same wheelhouse. Age bracket wise,
right?
With what we're dealing with now in this digital age, he already got rid of her. She's done,
right?
So now we got to deal with now we got a rematch. We got Biden, we got Trump, and here's what I'm gonna say.
Okay,
and I'm gonna put it on record. Trump gonna win. He gonna win.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I think
he's gonna win.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, hands down. I don't have any.
Here's what I wanted to get your opinion on because you're I feel your energy. You're very astute. In terms of the political landscape, and I know that you referenced the forefathers, right? The origins of what we call the United States of America, George Washington,
Andrew
Jackson,
our laws and how we're going to act
all
together.
Of them.
Right.
Didn't they tell us back then in the 1700s, this is the 18th century, didn't they tell us a politician should never be in office more than 10 years, ever?
Really?
I missed
that one.
Andrew Jackson, no.
Did he?
Go back. You can pull it up. Andrew Jackson
I believe
said,
you. You're educating me now. I can be taught.
When a politician is in office more than 10 years, he will become corrupt.
That's just a matter of course. That's just where the things lie, right?
Right. And that he was talking about term limits.
We
weren't talking about term limits until I think it was like Reagan and, you go back to 80. We had Nixon. We had Nixon. Then we had Reagan. We had Jimmy Carter.
Right.
And then they were talking about term limits.
Oh, Carter and then Reagan. Carter and then Reagan.
Right. And here's what a lot of people don't know. Barack Obama, before he got elected, when he was a junior senator, guess who his mentor was?
Oh, is that Zubinsky guy?
Nope. Harry Kissinger.
Really? Well, yeah, but it was also Nika's dad. So I don't mean to bring in a personality, but I don't say the name very well, so I'm using the, but it was Zabid, that guy. I don't say the name very well. But he was, really.
My point is, right. My point is, look at the cloth he was coming from.
Right, exactly.
And when he got voted senator, He didn't even do his whole term as senator before he got nominated for president.
Now, I know. See, that should have been a flag, too. Yeah.
That's a red flag. That's
I'm going to say this as a white chick. I'm going to say this is that I think I'm going to go out. I'm just going to say it. I'm not even going to get scared of it. I think that white population, they weren't informed enough, but the white guilt that we were supposed to feel, we say, oh, here we go. If we elect this black guy, then nobody can call us racist anymore. And I think we fell for that trip, and we didn't even look at the candidate. We looked at the social justiceness of it, and rather than the candidate himself, because there wasn't that, in hindsight, there wasn't much to look at. He's just a good talker.
Right.
Right.
Right. But here's the thing. Here's the hook. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even about a black agenda when mm-hmm. he was running.
Well, it wasn't an American agenda, even as we look back. You know,
To your point, white people felt an obligation.
I think so to a degree.
To vote for him.
And felt very good for themselves.
They felt an obligation to vote for him.
That's human behavior.
And he wasn't even about black people. He was about, right? Guess what? Let me tell you something. Here's what all presidents do. They do this. This is a script that is throughout history. They come up with a phrase,
mm-hmm.
and they will repeat the phrase over and mm-hmm. over and over. And what it does is it creates a chant. It creates an energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what Barack Obama's phrase was, we need a change.
Yeah, but it was also, yes, we can. And it ended up being, yes, he thought he could do just whatever he wanted to do, regardless of the Constitution.
But when they are running for office,
uh-huh.
and they come up with those chants,
uh-huh.
they never tell you what it really means.
Huh. Well,
that's
I'm following you to a point. Because I would have to believe that not all are going to be like that. I'd have to believe, just keeping the faith, that yes, there are dirty scoundrels that will get us to go along with it, but not all are going to be like that. Now, as far as a chanting phrase or a rally cry or any of that, I don't see any reason to not have that. I mean, you know, all teams and odds and movements have that. It's unifying and it's esprit de corps. There's nothing wrong with it. But when it's subversive, then that's something else. So, yeah. But we're not going to know that until hindsight.
Come up with those chants.
Mm-hmm.
It blinds people. It's like religion.
It
when
can
they want
be
the
used.
When they want mm-hmm. the congregation to get up, and
mm-hmm.
everybody has to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's not that you believe what's being said. It's that
mm-hmm.
you're putting the energy out into the universe.
No, I'm going to agree with you, Patrick, that sometimes, and maybe a lot of times, that is the case. But, again, we have to be careful with the broad brush, because I do know of several – well, I know politicians that are honest and have integrity. I do. I know of them, and some of them I feel like I know. But I also know some of the preachers and evangelicals or whatever else, that there are some that are very good, and there are some that are not. And just like any other profession – you know, there are going to be those that get in on the church skills, and I've seen preachers before. They don't know Genesis from Revelation, but they're going to sit there and preach to you. You know, so there are those, and there are doctors that don't know the stethoscope from a thermometer, but they're going to write a prescription. And so we have to take it in context, right? There are those that are qualified for the position that they're in, and there are those that are not qualified, and it's up to us, we the people, to be watchful of that and call out what is and what is not. So yeah, we need to take a look at all of that and set it straight, you know, and not be afraid to tell people. And I'm not talking about being a smart aleck and saying you stink, although they might. But to basically call right, right, and wrong, wrong, and not be afraid of that, because it's our fear that holds us back from doing those things that must be done sometimes.
That's a very, you know what? You brought up something, and I'm a deep thinker.
Mm-hmm. I've only got a few more minutes left for you, though. Yeah, I've only got a few more minutes for you, because we got to get to invasion and treason, and you know that's going to take time.
Okay.
All right.
You brought up something very important. Based on what you just said, how does the average person know how to do that? What you just said, because you can do it. You know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. But how do you get that to the average person?
It has to be taught. The same way we learned how to use microwave ovens and VCRs. It's habit. Exactly. Right? This next generation, they know how to program stuff coming out the womb, and we're still trying to figure out the hold button on some stuff, right? So that's an exaggeration, but it's the truth. It's the 100th monkey thing. We have to make it common knowledge. It's making it common knowledge, and it starts by freeing up the press to say the truth to the American people. We have to free up the press. It's not just saying the press is bad and they're lying to us. Because understand, a lot of different areas of our culture has been under siege for whatever reason. They got mouths to feed, you know, and bills to pay like the rest of us. So it's the whole industry of the press seems to have come under siege. And should we not help to free them so that we can, those who are gifted and talented and experienced in bringing us the news or the media or the press can feel like we got their back if they tell us the truth.
Okay.
You know, get behind the press to help free them up so that they can tell the truth. Because, you know, they got sponsors. They got sponsors that hold, you know, all that stuff. There's leverage above their heads, too. So should we not also address that to free up our press so that they can actually tell us the truth that they know within the guardrails of national security?
I want you to get to your next segment.
All right,
I'm going to leave you with this. And I'm going to stay on the line.
All right.
I'm going to put myself on mute. I want you to get to your next segment. You're gifted and talented. Why aren't you a billionaire? I already get that energy from you. I already get it from you.
I haven't gotten around
you
to it yet. I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Okay. You working on it? I'm working on it.
I just haven't had time. I'm too busy bringing you the truth. Thank you, Patrick, for calling in. You have a good night in Georgia. All right.
You too.
All right, dear. Well, that was a very fun conversation. Bye-bye. That was a very fun conversation. Thank you for calling in, Patrick. That gave us a lot of juice to think on and that. So, yeah, it's not an easy task to put yourself out there, to tell the truth and all of that. And you know, I've got a microphone. My face isn't out in front of the public. Their face is out in front of the public, you know. So there's a difference in what the way I present it and the way they present it. And I don't have the same corporate, ain't nobody sponsoring me. So I'm basically get to run my mouth as I see fit. And I do because I want to talk about this stuff. We talk about subversion. We're talking about what all that looks like. We've talked about the legal challenge that came, the insane ruling from Ergodon. Let's just call it that. What it is, and I don't even understand how they were able to get away with it. But let's take a look at the next point, and that is, what does invasion look like? Because in order for anybody to be able to get their claws in our nation, they have to get their claws in our laws and subvert it. They have to get the claws in the laws and subvert it. The law work for them, whoever them is, rather than for we the people, which is what it is supposed to do. It's supposed to protect we the people from government. And then there's civil and torts and all that stuff that protects us from each other, but or gives us restitution when a wrong has been done. So what does an invasion look like? because we have an invasion on the nightly news. We have an invasion of those corporate sponsors. Even watching the commercials, I feel like I have to take a shower sometimes on some of the things that they're selling. You know, why are we selling this here? At, you know, I mean, there's just crazy things. But what does an invasion look like? I mean, we're looking over at Ukraine. We talked about the beginning of the broadcast over in Ukraine. It looks like Putin is invading Ukraine. That's not what's going on. That's what we've been told is going on. That's not what's going on. But do we understand that there's an invasion of our own nation here now? And I'm not an alarmist. Sometimes I am, but I'm not an alarmist. We're being invaded. And we've been talking about it for a number of years, for more than one episode in this 1 year alone. There are military-aged men coming across the border. They're carrying children to sell, and the women are carrying children to sell. And some of them, I watched one of them cross the border with a great big old bag of dope on his back. Nobody stopped him. He made it over the line. He was good. But you can tell it's a bag of dope. Well, if you've been around it and seen it, you can tell it's a big old bag of dope on his back. Nobody arrested him. Nobody doing this. He'll drop it off before he gets to Border Patrol. And somebody else will pick it up and take it on. 235,000 at the last count to subvert our laws and to subvert our sovereignty. There have been over 230,000 individuals that are not citizens, that have no legal standing to be on American soil, other than it seems as though the executive branch of the United States government has decided that they are going to fly illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, illegal entrants, those who do not have a reason or a right or a place to be our soil through illegal means. They're subverting the law and flying them to, what is it, a 34 or 43? Somebody got dyslexic with the numbers. I got a 34 report. I got another 43 report. Airports. And they won't even tell us what airports they're being flown into. So basically, this is what's going on. Whether you and I, we the people, like it or not, and regardless of the law, and I'm talking about the Constitution. I'm not talking about, you know, the legislation that they're trying to push through HR 2, which is a big old goose egg. It's a goose egg. All it does is send a lot of money everywhere and a little bit for the border, and it secures the ability for illegal entrants to come here and somehow assert rights that they don't have against we the people. So the Biden administration, let's call it what it is, nobody is stopping the Biden administration from flying in all of these foreigners into our land and putting them out on what they're calling parole, but there's no parole because there's no tracking. I know parole. I know what probation and parole are. I used to work in that area. That's, you track them. You keep track. They report once a week, twice a week, sometimes if they've got a real bad case. But you report to your probation officer. You report to your parole officer. These guys are being flown into our nation, and they're not reporting to anybody. And if they are, who would that be? So we've got, so far, the 230,000, approximately 50, we've got an army, a 15-million-man army, that has been stationed throughout our nation without our permission because they've subverted the laws of the land. And now we have, let me get my notes here. Let me get, and their notes. And if I'm seeing them, other people have seen them because I don't do this on alone. Let's see. This is what the Senate has said. And the House Judiciary, not the House Judiciary, the Intel Committee, they're all looking out for this stuff. This is what we've got. Let me see what, oh yeah, here it is. Here it is. So we got negligence of office. Biden has completely neglected his duties as the executive in Washington. Completely. Completely. I don't care what he said at the State of the Union. I don't care what his words were at the State of the Union. A bunch of babbling bullshit that was coming out of his mouth. That's all it was, because these are the facts. This is what's happening at the border. Enough fentanyl came over, like, oh my goodness, enough to kill 270 million people. That's how much fentanyl was stopped at the border not too long ago. Gangs are coming in. We're talking about big gangs. We're not talking about these little Crips and Bloods and all these little wannabe things. And no insult to them, but guys, the people that's coming across the border make you look like puffin' stuff. They're flying in are not just criminals. They're criminally insane. Do you understand? They have no regard for anyone's boundaries, rights, dignity of person. They will do exactly what they want, the way that they want, regardless of the law. And we know now that the law is not even arresting these people. We've got people dying. We've got children being raped. We've got mutilated bodies. We've got body parts being found on the side of the road. We've got people, groups of people going into grocery stores, going into drug stores, going into pick a store, any store, and looting the hell out of it. And everybody sticks their thumb up their nose and decides that somebody else needs to do something about it. When are we going to stop the insanity? How long are we going to let our nation be raped, pillaged, and plundered, and otherwise razed to the ground because someone's afraid to act? You say, well, Congress can't act fast enough. They don't have the ability to do what needs to be done. They are unable at this time to follow through, period, for whatever reason. And we have an executive up there doing nothing more than handing out all of our tax dollars to yadi-dadi and every other body except we the people, and supporting every other cause except the crisis at the border. We've got multiple governors across multiple states giving multiple pleas to the federal authorities to please offer relief. We've got 13 states gathered together around Texas's action to try to secure the southern border. And then we have the government, the federal government, coming in and say, no, Texas, you cannot secure the border. Be damned, they can't. Evidently, they haven't read the Constitution of the United States. And Article 4, Section 4 says, by damn, they should, and they better. It's not just a good idea. It is an obligation. Under the law, I love the law. I have fallen in love with the law. Head over heels, drippy, smutty, sloppy kisses. Because it is the law that gives us, we the people, the authority. You will say, Leanna Grace, we don't have any authority. Yeah, we do. We have a lot more authority than anybody's realizing. We have amendments that give us authority. Because all of these sections, articles 1, 2, and 3, and all of the articles that are towards the government, it didn't say much about what the people have. So let's go to Article 4, Section 4. I believe that's what it is. Article 4, Section 4. Yeah, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the United States. People, the whole article is only like 6 paragraphs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's not a large read. Article 4, Section 4, Congress. Article 4, Section 4, Senate and House. Article 4, Section 4, Executive Branch. The United States shall, not maybe, not a good idea, not ask questions about it, shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government. What does that mean? It means that it's not gang rule. Everybody matters. That's Republican rule. It's not just a party, although we have the parties named after that. A Republican form of government means that everybody's voice matters. That's what it means. And it says the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. Read that again. And shall protect, one more time for those in the back, Congress, legislature, executive branch, and shall protect each of them against invasion and application of the legislature, which has happened through Texas, happened through Arizona, and 13 other states all getting together and saying we need to protect the border, shall protect each of them against invasion. That's what we have on the border. We are being invaded. It was named an invasion 2 years ago. It's been repeatedly called that. Why? Because the evidence suggests, no, it doesn't suggest. It shows us in dripping fashion. We are being invaded, and it's being aided evidently by the executive branch as they fly 230,000 people into our nation and scatter them throughout in places unknown, from places unknown, and we don't get to say anything about it. Be damned, Section 4 of Article 4. The executive acts if the legislature cannot be convened. Why is the executive not acting? Well, we want to codify it into law. Bullshit. The executive must act. Why isn't the executive acting? Why isn't the executive acting? What is he afraid of? What happened the last time that an executive act on the southern border? The last executive to take action at the southern border was drug into court. Judicial review after judicial review after judicial review, causing chaos and crisis and a prolonged angst among the American people. As the media spun that he's a dictator and he's racist and he doesn't like people and bad blood and yada yada. No, we're being freaking invaded and he wanted to stop it. And everyone challenged him. And so now we have an executive in there who's got his tails between his legs because if he takes any action, everybody's going to jump down his throat just like they did when he accurately referred to the illegal immigrants as illegal immigrants. And as he's getting on to board Air Force One, what did he say? Well, technically, they're really not supposed to be here. Knowingly, he's allowing it. That reason looks like knowingly and willfully giving our nation over to foreign entities, to foreign gangs, to all of this stuff, and we the people have no say. That's what treason looks like. He's given aid and comfort to our enemies, mainly those who are coming in to hurt us. How do we know that they have that intent? Because they keep hurting us. They're coming in unlawfully, have no regard for our law. That should tell us something. That's a starting place. No regard for our law. Okay, well, come on in. Assimilate. But the first premise is they have no regard for our law. And evidently, the executive who was sitting up in Washington beside being some kind of an Oval Office doesn't have any regard for the law either. Neither does his vice president. Both of them. She at any point could say stop, but she didn't. No one has held traitor, this treasonous executive, to account. I think that he and the vice president need to be arrested for treason. I think that they need to be arrested. You cannot prosecute the executive in a court of law because of the immunity. If he is acting under constitutional authority, allowing an invasion of our southern border is not constitutional authority. Giving our hard-earned money to other places, Ukraine and to Israel and to anybody else that says, hey, wanna, gimme, gimme. What is he doing? He's giving our nation away. He opened the door and said, come on in, bring everything you've got and destroy the place. He might as well have just written it out in a gold invitation and the fringe on top, because that's what we're living with. We're living with so much battery and so much violence and so much violation against we the people that Congress felt it necessary to pass an act and name it after Lake and Riley, so that people would just simply pay attention to what's going on. They had to pass legislation so that they could prosecute, because the executive branch is up there with his thumb up his nose saying, well, I can't do anything because they might draw the judicial review my butt. Secure the border from the invasion. Round up the invaders that are harming we the people, the ones that are your boss, the ones that pay your bills. It's treason. There is no other way to put it out. You say, well, Leanna Grace, how do you do that? Well, you ask the Joint Chiefs if they wouldn't mind kindly removing and unassing the AO from the treasonous president and vice president, fire them. You say, well, then what do? Well, then we take the Speaker of the House, we put him up the president just like we're supposed to, just like the Constitution tells us. We need to find someone that we can trust to make the big boy pants in a big boy office in a big boy way. And Biden is not the big boy. You can paint it any way you want. And you can speak as respectfully to him because of the office and his age as you want. But as we found out in the review of the HER report, the only reason they didn't bring charges is because he's not competent. I'm paraphrasing. Mr. HER did not say this. But the view, he didn't think that they would charge him because he does present as a doddering old man with a poor memory. Why do we have a doddering old man with a poor memory sitting behind the desk making big boy decisions in big boy ways when obviously he is past the ability, regardless of the booster shots they give him? Methylfexate, I think, is the one that they're giving him, and they're stacking it with the rifampins. He's a shell, and they're moving him around the office. That's what's going on. And so what do we the people do? Well, let's go to the First Amendment and find out what it is that we the people can do. Because all of these things notwithstanding, the fact that he's giving our money away, the fact that he's... all of it, that he cannot stand trial for the crimes that he's done because he did have classified documents at a time when he's in a place when he's not allowed to have classified documents. There is no other way to write that report, and it was detailed. The counselor Hurl, prosecutor Hurl, her, an excellent report, excellently defended in a hostile environment, I might add. But let's find out what the First Amendment says that we can do. The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States states, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. Okay, so there can't be any state religion. And it won't prohibit the free exercise thereof, of what? Of any religion. Or abridging the freedom of speech, so they can't make me stop talking just because they don't like what I say. Or of the press, which means that we need to fight for a free press, and we need to free our press up from their oppressors. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, which is what we saw on January 6th until the little hokey-pokey players decided they were going to pretend to play hokey-pokey and act like they were MAGA and that they caused a whole big thing. That's already been dealt with. We'll see the outcome of that soon. And I love this last one. And to petition the government for a redress of grievances. These are my grievances. We have a traitor, at the very least individual, sitting in the Oval Office, surrounded by all kinds of people that know the level of his incompetency that was on full display during the State of the Union for everybody and their brother to see. And they're supporting a facade, which makes them all guilty, or at least under the suspicion of misprision of treason, which means they're helping the treason along, just like the little old game. So that's what I want to see. Get them out of office and get someone who's got the stamina and the guts and the integrity to do those things that they swore to do when they took that office. That's all we need. It would be my preference for Donald J. Trump, but he's in the middle of an election right now. Don't know if that's the way that's going to be, but I do know that the Speaker of the House is the third in line. And since we know we can't trust the first two, and you say, well, Leanna Grace, why can't we trust the vice president? Because she's helping with the facade of whatever this executive is supposed to be in the Oval Office, and they call him Joe Biden. How long will we suffer these offenses? How long? How many more Americans have to die before someone takes action against the phony, fake fraud that's in the White House? How many more people have to die before somebody takes the reins and we go completely into the ditch? How many more people have to die? How long before we do have an incident that is completely foreseeable and avoidable if someone would simply take action? But nobody is. We're all yelling. Texas has filed suit after suit. The media is trying to tell us everything that's going on. We, the people, are beside ourselves with angst as we bite our nails and watch things fall apart. And yet the fentanyl keeps coming in. Our children and our women keep getting raped. Our men and our sons keep getting killed. All the stores keep getting pillaged and plundered. And nobody is doing a thing. Why won't the police arrest him? Because it doesn't do any good. They get in trouble if they arrest him, and they're out in 20 minutes because there's no bail in some of these states, these cities, where all of this is going on. Chicago Transit Master Guide Director, Head Honcho, person in Chicago, was saying he wants National Guard in his subways just like they've got in New York because the criminals aren't listening to any manner of authority and they would just as soon wait for the police to escort them off to a safe location because as soon as they're arrested, they'll be processed and according to the train man, they'll be on it again, flipping them off the same way they did the day before. We have laws in this land. And most of us follow it. And then we're supposed to have penalties for those who don't. And yet what we see is those who are committing the worst offenses are being given a pass. But if you are an American citizen and you almost break the law, you're going to go to jail, then you're going to go through hell to get out of it. Tell me when that became fair. Tell me when that became equal application under the law. Tell me when that became constitutional. It did not. The law hasn't changed just the way they batter it has. And we've got, you said, well, why doesn't Congress, there's only so much that Congress can do under the law. When Congress can't Congress, and I think I posted this up, I'm just going to take it from one of my dilly whoppers because I said it best and no sense in repeating it any other way. It said pretty well that way. Let me just get it up here. It was the questions asking. They were good questions. Let's see, is that it? No, that's not it. Let's see, where is it at? This is some good stuff here. There it is. It's presidential, it's constitutional authority and scope and reach. I did a little work up on that. But the questions that I ask is when, what recourse or assurance do we the people have when Congress fails to Congress and when the execute fails to execute, when the executives fail to execute, and when judges fail in judgment, and when justices fail to hear justice? How then will we the people be provided a common defense, established justice, and continued domestic tranquility? It falls upon the Joint Chiefs of Staff to effect an arrest of a president, but it must be requested by the citizens, and I'm requesting it. I, under my First Amendment right to address the government for redress of grievances, I'm petitioning you now. Please arrest the traitor. Please arrest them for treason. And please put somebody who has the ability to execute the duties of the office of President of the United States, please put the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, there. Please effect an arrest and save we the people from all of this egregious harm that's coming across our border, and seemingly nobody is doing anything about it. And when they do, they come under prosecution from the United States government, just like Greg Abbott and Texas has come under. This is not where we should be. This is not the picture that any of us have had. And yet here we are, and this is what is in front of us. Whether it is fair, whether it is fun, or whether it's anything close to what we thought we would have to do, this is what's in front of us. And you say, well, what about the election? Well, they've got Rule 9. They were going to use Rule 9 when they tried to assassinate President Trump during the second debate in 2016 election. They were going to go to Rule 9, give them Trump without the Trump. Why don't they go to Rule 9 for the election? They have candidates. They have at least two to choose from, one that has already been through the primary. Well qualified, otherwise she wouldn't have made it through the primary. She got some votes. So they have an option. This isn't taking away their voice. This is taking away the inept executive that is pretending to execute anything like law and order under the Constitution for we the people of the United States. Now, I could draw this up in all kinds of fancy language, and I might even do that too. But my blood's been boiling over this for a little while. Everybody's saying, we have an invasion. Well, let's do something about it. And if nobody else is going to stand up and say, arrest the treasonous bastards, then I will. Because what's going on from the executive office, from what we call Joe Biden, is treason. Wantingly and willingly handing over our land to foreigners and assisting them, giving them aid and comfort, giving our hard-earned tax dollars to support them, and yet cutting the budget on the things that we the people need. They're not supplying us a common defense, nor are they supplying us anything close to an adequate military defense. Under law, they must, and they are not. Under constitutional law, they must protect us from invasion, and yet they're not encouraging it. They're enabling it. They're enhancing it. They're empowering it at the sake of we the people. There is no other way to tell this story than the way I'm telling it straight. There's no other way to put it out there than the way it's being put out straight. Just as a matter of course, I'm going to bring up Mr. Raskin. Now, Representative Raskin was leading a push to create a law giving Congress the power to deny President Trump the win at the 2024 presidential race. This is a representative. Whether he's a Democrat or whether he's a Republican doesn't matter. But this is Representative Raskin leading a push to create a law, Congress the power to deny an individual a win at the 2024 presidential election in the race. Article 1, Section 9, Chapter 3.1 is the Bill of Attainder Law. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 3. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. There's nothing that follows in that statement. Nothing follows in that statement except an explanation. That is the complete Article 1, Section 9, Clause 3 in a nutshell, not nutshell, in its entirety. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. Now, what does that mean? A bill of attainder back in the old days was used to congressionally or legislatively write capital punishment. They would just write the law and say this person's actions are so egregious, kill him. And they'd write the law and they'd kill him. It wasn't a judge, it wasn't a jury, it wasn't a trial, there wasn't anything. It was a bill of attainder. a bill to take somebody's life. Since we never practice that here in the United States, it refers to the bill of attainder in terms of pains and penalties. And so in essence, what this Representative Raskin was doing was leading a push against the Constitution of the United States. Because the Constitution of the United States says you can't do that. And yet he's pushing to pass a law to do that. Do you see how ignorant the legislature is? They don't know the law or they don't care about the law. Either way, they're not good for us. This gentleman cannot possibly have any respect for the law if he's going to poop on it right there. And as far as pains and penalties go, let me just read. It says, bill of attainder are such special acts of the legislature as to inflict capital punishments upon persons supposed to be guilty. They're just supposed, they haven't been tried, supposed to be guilty of high offenses such as treason and felony without any conviction in the ordinary course of judicial proceedings. If an act inflicts a milder degree of punishment than death, it's called a bill of pains and penalties. And is that not what we're inflicting upon each other through the press and through the courts and through all this little mind-boggling litigation against none other than Donald J. Trump, the one person who's able to stand up and say no to these bastards? He's not afraid. He hasn't been afraid. And now because of all of the things that occurred, the rigged and the stolen stuff that occurred during the last election, here we are. How much more are we going to take? How much more do we have to take? And I say, I don't want to take any more at all. We can stop here. We can stop here by everything in the law and everything that we've seen. We have a right to ask for the arrest and detainment of the president and the vice president of the United States and follow constitutional order and put the Speaker of the House in the presidential executive seat, have him pick the people he needs to pick, and continue on, and through executive order, close that border, and with the stroke of a pen, can reinstate every boundary and every beneficial piece of legislation that Donald J. Trump had for us when he was sat as president behind the Oval Office, behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office. It only takes a stroke of a pen. Say, well, Anna Grace, how do you know that? Well, let's go back to see what was done before with the stroke of a pen. Back in Barack Obama, when the Kenyan sat as president, they effectively gave him the same rights, privileges, and honorariness of it, and the stroke of law and all of that that goes along with it as well. So let's talk about that. Executive privilege. Now, Executive Order 13233, it was signed by Barack Obama on November 1 of 2001. What it did in essence was, go back to the Nixon era. Nixon had all of the things that went on, and Nixon did an executive order. It all protected it so that nobody is executive privilege over all of the paperwork and all of that. And the president gets to say who gets the paperwork, when they get the only thing that the archivist really has an authority to do. They have the responsibility, not the authority. They have the responsibility to keep track of the records. They don't have the authority to say which ones they're going to keep track of. They have zero authority, none whatsoever, the records archivist people. What they do have is the responsibility to keep track of them. And just as a matter of course, I think I'd point out that they lost a whole hard drive related to the Clinton era. Just let you know, it's their responsibility to keep track and keep safe. It is not within their authority to demand anything be turned over by any president at any time during their tenure or after. Now you say, Leanna Grace, how do you know that? Well, because Barack Obama reconfirmed it. It was set into office back during the Nixon era. When Bush came into office, he said, nope, we're going to nix that. And with a stroke of a pen, he did away with that executive order. Then Barack Obama came in, and with a stroke of a pen, he reinstated that very same executive order. And I quote, in a manner consistent with the Supreme Court's decision in Nixon versus Administrator of General Services 433 U.S. 425, 1977, and other cases, it is hereby ordered as follows. And then we could continue reading or just get the gist of it from there. Stroke of a pen, it can be done. And yet here we are, waiting for somebody, nearly anybody, to take the correct action on behalf of we the people. How much longer do we need to wait? How much more do we need to lose? Life, limb, property, sanity. How much more? I am your host, Leanna Grace. It's my absolute pleasure and honor to bring you the broadcast this evening. If anything's required in hard copy, I'll know soon enough and we'll make it a product. But until that time, I'm simply asking my listeners to review and to listen and to think about this and to really consider, what are we looking at? What are we looking at? And is it not time for a remedy? I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. Those listening remotely, I'm not sure who you are, but I do know that you are. And for your attendance to the broadcast, I am thankful and grateful. And thank you also to Patrick. Didn't forget about you. Patrick from Georgia, for calling in and sharing your insights and all the good yummy things you said too. I won't discount that. Thank you very much. I'll take it. I appreciate you being part of the broadcast. I am reminding you too, as always, until next time we're on the air, I do plan on Friday being here bright and early on 8 p.m. Bright and early on 8 p.m. But until that time, I am reminding you too, as always, to watch for the signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, live within love, and do something good, because we will all be learning to forgive. Until next time, good night.